cliffcentral.com. 360 Biz on cliffcentral.com.
It is 360biz.com. My name is Teboho Mafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. Unfortunately, I can't be saying good weather today because the weather is bad. And Bulelani decided to come in studio with a very big, I don't know whether is it a juved or is it a winter blanket. Bulelani, what is this that you're wearing, my brother?
Well, I was inspired by Palesa. Our technical lady, she's wearing a blanket. I wanted to upscale myself by wearing a bomber.
Look at how they're looking. But I say, you must not be coming to work with blankets. If Bulelani is going to be wanting
to
wear...
It's a nice fashion number. The ladies are going to slur us with the insult.
No, but anyway, I see you are dressed for the weather. You're quite ready warm.
I'm trying to do you know, dressing very formal, look very organized. it's killing my vibe because I have to now sit in a certain way and speak in a certain way. Yeah. I run a creative company, so you can imagine wear slippers to work, but we come up with great products.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, in the next hour, we've got the national budget speech. Is there anything specifically you want to hear?
Man, I think my focus areas that I particularly would like to hear about is what sort of money are they setting aside for entrepreneurs, township economy development.
Okay.
And I'd actually like to see the NDP and is it the 9-point plan coming to life?
Yeah.
Closer to me, like in my bank account.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, for me, my one thing that yesterday I had the privilege of, by the way, of having a breakfast with the Premier.
Oh, no, I saw that.
David Makura, yes. And it was him, Lebohang Maile, the MEC. In fact, Asanda, we must have the Premier in studio, eh? Let's arrange and have. Yeah, we've had MEC Lebohang Maile. We've had another person that we had there was Mr. Paul Mashatile, and one of the things they were speaking about, it's the mega project that is focusing on infrastructure that is coming up with a very big budget that is looking at developing new inner cities, especially within. City of Joburg and other municipalities. I mean, you must look at branding that, eh?
No, definitely. I think one of the things that makes our current premier, my favorite premier, was when he admitted to the ETOLs. There, he won me over. He had me at that one.
What did he say when he admitted?
He said that they made a mistake with the ETOLs.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's so leader-like to acknowledge when you make mistakes, but that's cool. I like that.
No, definitely. I mean, having been speaking about a mega project, I mean, it's part of the discussion today. We're talking alternative building. I mean, building a home is a high cost in South Africa. I mean, studies have shown these days on today's show. That's why we bring you alternative building methods that are beautiful, cost-effective, luxurious, and complementing the environment and its surroundings. Alternative building challenges the status quo of South Africa's construction industry, and it provides people with alternative building techniques. Its solutions are found on the rising cost of building affordable houses using various techniques with big focus on shipping containers using alternative building technology. And but then come to think of it, I was reading this study on business on Destiny magazine. The study was saying it cost close to 600,000 more in South Africa to build a new home than buying an existing one. So people are preferring now to buy existing home and actually adding on to that existing home.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I'm at a point where I'm looking for a private property myself, and I think that's one of the things I saw. I mean, when you look at the purchase price for an open piece of land, and when you add up the quotes that you're getting from builders such as yourself, contractors such as yourself, it's very shocking.
Yeah.
It's very shocking. So I think in that light, it would make more sense to buy something that is already existing and then just puts a couple of touches on.
No, definitely. And for me, I mean, speaking of that, I mean, for me, I'm looking now at something that is alternative other than, you know, what the old traditional brick and mortar. And I'm excited that I know that today's show, we've got Mr. Brad Bedman from Cape Town, who's the founder of Bedman and Culling Housing Concept. And we've got Mr. Gary Helden, yes, from Helden Services, or what is it? Oh, yeah, Helden Container Services. And as well, I know we've joined in studio as well by Mr. Makano Morejele. Is it Morejele?
Makano Morejele.
Morejele.
He twanged it a bit. Morejele.
Okay. Who's the head of social sustainability from the National Business Initiative? Let me take this opportunity to welcome you guys to studio. Thank you definitely for joining us today. And we've got a guest as well. We'll get to introduce you later on the show. Maybe let me start. Where do we start? Ladies first, or not ladies first? Okay, Mr. Gary, do you want to take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you and what is that you do.
Hi, my name is Gary Heldnes. I'm the MD of Heldcon Container Services. Our company is based in Radiocorp. And we do conversions on shipping containers at the yard.
Oh, okay. No, definitely. Thank you, Mr. Haldanes, for joining us onto the show, ma'am.
I am Makano Morojele from the National Business Initiative, which is a voluntary coalition of South African and multinational companies working in South Africa, seeking to promote sustainable development and growth.
Mm. Oh, okay. No, definitely. Maybe let me start with you, Mr. Helden. Yes. You spoke that your company, you do homes out of containers. My brother, you need to come in here. You need to come in here. Okay. So do you want to tell us more a bit about that?
With the shipping containers, we found that it can be used extensively in housing projects. Mm-hmm. The projects that we do can be a single shipping container that would be converted into a small unit, having a separate bathroom, open plan kitchen and living area. Furthermore, with this, a person needs to expand. You can either expand with brick and mortar or get the next shipping container and carry on building the units bigger. Other than that, we can use shipping containers to make use multiple shipping containers to make bigger units. These units can then be manufactured at our yard at in Radiocorp, and then from there it'll be transported to site, assembled on site, and then once everything's assembled, we can do a current turnkey project where we can also quote on supplying all the services as well for the shipping containers.
Okay, but now, I mean, Mr. Helden, this is something that I know I travel extensively, that I've had the opportunity of seeing in America and other countries, but it's not something that is big in South Africa. So when did you get into this space?
With the shipping containers, we've been involved in the conversion of general shipping containers for around about 15 years, mm-hmm. Extensively more in the mining industry that we started. Other than that, it branched out to some residential units, and with that, slowly but surely, it is taking off. I think in South Africa, people are still a little bit reluctant to use the shipping containers. Yeah. They haven't really got into it like the overseas market.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we with access to websites on all different types of shipping container conversions and developments, we've been able to then start tapping into that market in our country as well.
So now you've started tapping into some in our country as well. What are some of the projects that you've been involved in South Africa specifically?
With projects we've done, more on the children's home side, we were involved in a children's home in Midrand. This was a residential unit that was developed to house our orphans in the area. With that, it was a safe environment for them. With that, they had residential units, mess halls, the kitchen units, and then they also had staff units for the staff that took care of the kids. They've been involved in a housing project where we built a residential house. Mm-hmm. With the residential houses, we find it the neighbors don't really like it at this stage. They're not used to and familiar with the housing projects in a brick and mortar environment. Yeah. So I think we've got to try and educate people that it can be done, and it has to be done neatly, and it has to be sustainable.
So you're saying the neighbors don't like it?
Yes, we've put up containers, and a lot of times they're not used to the shipping containers, mm-hmm. and then more used to traditional building methods. And eventually sometimes we have to clad the containers to then look more environmentally friendly and stuff like that. But slowly but surely, I think the focus is turning, and people are getting used to the look of the shipping containers, which is, in my opinion, I think it looks quite nice.
Yeah.
No, definitely. Bulelani, I don't know. Let me say, you stay in Tembisa. You run a business in Tembisa. So would you say that personally, you is it something that that bothers you, if maybe you would see it in Tembisa, for instance?
I think quite recently I've been thinking about obtaining one, because I saw quite two or three. There's this nice one opposite Gallagher in Midrand, and there's a nice one that they've just built up in Midrand. I think the corner of I forgot the name of the road, but it's very close to Teasers. Don't ask me what.
Good reference point.
Okay.
So I think as emerging entrepreneurs, it makes it easier. And I think that the regulation, or rather the zonings and all that stuff, become much more easier, because, I mean, it's something that can be converted and you can move it around, I'd like to think. And I think that just off air, there's a new franchise in the Pretoria area where these guys opened it up, and they didn't do the ordinary conventional brick and mortar. They actually got containers, mm-hmm. and they covered the whole stuff up with wooden pallets, and it looked very nice because it was varnished. So I think that ideally, in terms of conservation of our environment and conservation of the earth, I think more than anything, we need to look at those, because how much ground can we really dig in building? So yeah, when you look at the innovation around the 27 boxes in Melville as well, mm-hmm. so I think we're going somewhere there. But I would not personally have a problem with having a container next to me, unless it's obstructing my livelihood.
Is it? Maybe let's come to Memakano. Memakano, would you have a home or an office that's made out of a container?
Well, I suppose part of the problem here is I don't know, because I haven't seen it.
Really?
Exactly. Or maybe
that's why
maybe
you're sitting here, so that we can educate you.
Exactly. So I'll be the first one to learn.
Yeah.
So
these are your images, actually.
And the thing is, it might have been that I drove past it without knowing that it is, because it looks stunning.
Mm.
But I think if the motivation behind it is to move towards a much more sustainable,
greener
economy, then I would be all for it. Mm. But as with any change, I think it requires education. And sometimes it takes quite a bit of time to persuade people to change their normal practices.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, when you speak of education, it comes now to what I know you're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
National Business Initiative, what is it? And what is it that you guys do?
Well, as I pointed out, it is a voluntary grouping or coalition of South African and multinational companies that are working towards sustainable growth and development.
Mm-hmm.
And practically what that means is that NBI aims to drive business participation in order to achieve social and economic transformation. And practically, we use a combination of different approaches.
Okay.
One is what we call collective leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, collective action. Another is thought leadership.
Mm.
And another is a capacity building.
Okay.
Thought leadership, because we feel that it's important every now and then to bring people together to engage on hard issues, which often the solutions are not that obvious. So, for instance, even on the very example that of containers, it could be that you organize, we organize a thought leadership with a view to understand, to persuading people to understand what lies behind that, why we should be moving towards such economies, but also then to begin to mobilize a groundswell of people to actually act together and, you know.
I mean, you've been doing a lot of nice and good things, I mean, amongst the youth and society at large, as NBI. Do you want to take us through some of the initiatives that you've had in the past?
Yeah. So NBI has two core areas of work.
Okay.
One is environmental sustainability, which really covers climate change,
mm-hmm.
energy, water, waste. And there's another core area of work, which is social sustainability, under which we have a big program on skills development.
Okay.
And I think the today's discussion will focus primarily on the skills development component, which essentially focuses on mobilizing companies, and TVET colleges, the technical education and vocational training colleges,
mm-hmm.
to for both entities to find meaningful ways of working together.
Mm.
What we often find is that employers or companies make assumptions about what TVET colleges are meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, colleges also make assumptions about what employers are looking for.
Mm.
So basically, we are saying, let's go to the first principles and establish a common platform where the both entities can understand the same things the same way.
Yeah, but now a little bit was telling us that you've partnered or you've come into the construction industry now. You're coming into my and Mr. Heldenier's industry.
Yes.
I know we've got Gary on the line. Gary, we're going to join. We're going to be with you shortly.
Yes.
What is it that you're doing with the construction industry?
So essentially what I've said earlier about establishing a common platform where companies and colleges can act, think and act together, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, perhaps let's give practical expression as to what this means. So we took the construction industry, because this is where we have a number of members. We have Avenge, we have Group 5, we have Basil Reed. We also have Marion Roberts as some of our members. So these companies have been saying to us they are not quite happy with the caliber of graduates coming out of the TVET colleges, but they took it upon themselves that it wasn't enough just to stop at pointing at the weaknesses, but rather to invest money in helping colleges to develop curriculum that would be suitable to what the employers were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think, and out of that has now developed a major program where these companies are now opening up their workspaces to place TVET graduates who would have specialized in building and civils and construction.
I like that, actually.
You do?
Yeah, because I think more than anything, one of the biggest things that companies want from people is someone who's got a skill, but practical skill.
Mm. Absolutely.
And who's got some form of experience more than anything. So if someone is able to come into an organization and add value and go out there and get themselves a good job, I think from the angle of skills development, it aids in a very big way.
Yeah.
In a very big
way. Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, I think maybe let me connect to Brad. Then from the we'll definitely come back to you, Mr. Hi, Brad. How are you?
Hi, good, and you?
No, good, thanks. Thank you for holding, Brad. Do you want to take this?
Us.
Yes. Do you want to take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is that you do.
Sure. I'm from a company called Berman Kalil Housing Concepts, and we do all sorts of shipping container homes at the moment. We seem to be doing a lot more luxury accommodation and guest houses and that type of thing. And then we also do community centers and schools and classrooms and medical facilities and all that, and we ship just about all over the world.
No, definitely. We've seen some of your work, Brad, and with some of Gary's work as well here in studio.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the questions that I asked Gary earlier as to, this is something that is big internationally, and I know that there's a study I was going through. It was saying that as South Africans, we don't adapt easily to change. You know, especially when it comes to something that is alternative, as far as containers is concerned. So even Gary was telling us that for some of the projects that he has done, even people like neighbors and whatsoever, they don't receive it well, you know, in terms of seeing that. How has the response been on your side? I know you've got a couple of homes that you've done using shipping containers.
Well, although I do agree with what Gary said, I find that we tend to, our units have been sort of on the outskirts of Cape Town, and there it's like, it every time we've delivered a home, it's been a big event where the whole town has come to see, and everyone from the little dorp comes up to watch the cranes offloading the containers, and it's been quite a spectacle.
Yeah.
So we really haven't encountered any problems with neighbors or anything like that. Quite the opposite, actually.
Mm-hmm. So now, I mean, how much would you say it costs? Maybe let's say percentage-wise, putting up a home using containers versus old traditional building?
It'll be about 65% of the cost, 70% of the cost. So it's at least 30-35% off.
So is it about 30-40% cheaper?
Yeah, that's about right.
Is it? So now let's talk regulations and legislations. I mean, your company is based in Cape Town, you know, so I know you've been doing a lot of work there, and you've been doing a couple of work as well in Africa. Maybe one, are you planning to do any work outside Cape Town? And how has the bylaws or the regulations been, though, around building using containers, though?
Well, we do plenty of work outside of Cape Town. We export quite a bit as well. As far as the regulations go, the ones that we have had plans for have been submitted through the regular planning procedures as though it was a brick and mortar house, but with container specifications detailed. And so far we haven't had a rejection. I mean, all the municipalities seem to be accepting it as a rational design, and they seem to be approving it on that basis. So it's been pretty good for us.
Well, so now, I mean, you're required to have plans, like normal plans for the house?
Well, there's very different schools of thought. I mean, it literally varies according to who you ask. But, I mean, the municipality will tell you you need plans for any structure on your property. But, I mean, we've also designed some of our units to fly under the radar of the legal requirements of accession. So it is actually seen as a temporary structure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So that's something we spent a lot of time on, is looking at the laws of accession and when the property is actually permanently affixed to the land and when it's not. And we've tried to design it around all those issues.
So Bulelani seems fascinated. What are you over there?
No, I think I find it particularly interesting. And I think one of the things that would be most appealing to me with regards to this is the regulation. The fact that one is able to jump through certain loopholes with regards to this. Because at the end of the day, for me, it's green. Yeah. That's one thing that's big for me. It's green. And the most beautiful thing about it is that we're an ordinary conventional. And because of the fact that I come from the township space, we see these everywhere. You understand what I'm saying? So because, and these are always done in the same old way. And I know that, I mean, I've seen quite a few where people were actually living in them, but the conditions were terrible. And I mean, imagine bringing this technology in to then say that here's a solution, you know?
Yeah.
It becomes very great, yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Well, what's quite interesting is that by staying green, you actually fly more under the radar than anything else, because by staying green and not having it connected to your municipal services and all those kinds of things, that's what keeps you flying under the radar of needing plans and all that, and where they get sticky about those issues.
Mm.
I like how he goes flying green. It's like some CIA.
No, definitely. Tell me, Brad. In terms of, what are the most challenges that you're most likely to face using container homes versus your old traditional building?
Well, the big issue at the moment has been finance. I mean, especially in the low-cost housing industry, there isn't a lot of money flying around.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been one stumbling block for a lot of clients and people out there that are captivated by the product, but you know they're not yet at a point in their lives when they can afford it. So the banks haven't been particularly helpful, but we're working on that all the time. That's really been our biggest issue, probably, is just the general readiness of the market, I suppose.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, no, I guess it's something that we'll definitely have to deal with. So now, I mean, today, you know, later on, in fact, in a few minutes from now, it's the budget speech. Is there something specifically that you're looking out for as the last question, as far as especially your industry is concerned, before I let you go?
Nothing specific we're watching for. I mean, government, especially our government, haven't been particularly helpful towards the cause, but I don't know, just some assistance to all those that actually need it would be a great thing to see in the budget speech.
No, definitely. No, but thanks a lot, Brad, for your time. For those that want to be in contact with you, where can they get hold of you?
Best place to get us is through our website, which is www.berman-kalil.co.za.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just send us a mail or a contact from the website.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm looking forward to having you in studio soon so that we can dwell more into this discussion.
I hope so too.
No, definitely. That was Mr. Brad it's actually Brad Berman from Berman Kalil. He's actually the partner of and the founder of Berman Kalil Housing Concept. So coming back to you, Gary, you've picked up obviously that it's something that definitely they're exploring, and now they've even gone on to luxury homes using this alternative method of building. So let me ask you this question though. People that are receptive of these homes, is it more of black people, is more of white people, or is it people in general across different races?
I think it would be people in general. Mm. Although I do find that there is an untapped market in the black market.
Mm.
And with that, for everyone to get a house, uh-huh. I think that's most important, or a little base to start from and then build on from there.
Mm.
So I think it's across the board.
Yeah. No. So then in terms of, would you say our government is doing enough, though, to explore alternative methods?
At this stage, I don't think so. I think they can look into it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think from possibly the financial institutions to then start recognizing these projects mm-hmm. and trying to finance the smaller version mm-hmm. of it, and then a person can get his own house or a base to start from mm. and then build from there.
Yeah.
So I think if the banking industry could also come on board, I think it would help a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. But it looks like really finance is an issue, because I'm a developer and I know, being a developer, obviously the finance has been the main issue in terms of, that's why even now I said I'm buying my own land. And I'm putting up my own, you know, development project using my own money, so that at least one tries to remove the stigma and the stereotypeness around this, you know, to do something at least that you can showcase to South Africa, that you can showcase to the world. And I think for having said that, I think Ms. Makano, this is something that within the platforms that you add, bringing the likes of us to actually open up, you know, discussions around this to more people, because right now we as a country or as a continent, as the world, we're going green. So it's good to actually explore alternative methods that could be of benefit, you know, to people as a whole. I'd like to think that it's partly of what you guys stand for, don't you think?
Absolutely. And in fact, we have quite a well-developed program on environmental sustainability. So even from that angle, I think this would be, this is an idea that really is perfectly aligned with what the NBI is seeking to achieve. But I think even from a skills development perspective, I mean, for me, what jumps out is the fact that often when there are these new innovative developments, you find that there's very little focus on the readiness of the, or at least supporting the service provider, the education provider in this instance, which would be a TVET college, so that you start channeling young people into the programs in these new emerging and green areas. So this whole question of education being responsive to labor market needs is something that we need to really invest quite heavily in, so that as new innovative areas emerge, then you find that the colleges or the schools or the universities are well positioned to respond to that emerging market. It's something that we are not doing very well. I think because it's quite difficult to bring a very complex system like the one we have. But even where we could develop to respond specifically, let's say, to this alternative building, it would require that we find alternative funding in order to develop that expertise, because generally the funding wouldn't exist.
You see why I want to have my own fund, bro.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You see why I want to have my own fund.
It's very important. Eh?
Yeah. So I think the short answer really is, from an NBI perspective, that thought leadership platform, where we begin to understand what is at stake here, why should we be doing this, what are the benefits, who benefits, and who should invest in what, who should be providing what sort of training. There's a platform that we could use. But also the capacity building platform that I mentioned, once we have these sorts of buildings up and running, what are the tools, what's required, you know? So it is possible, I think, to build that or incorporate that into what the NBI is doing.
Yeah, no, definitely. So now, as a construction company, you're a construction company as well, Mr. Khaldanes. How do we become part of your initiative? Or, I mean, I know there's probably a construction company as well listening out there that wants to be part of the NBI initiative.
Yeah. In fact, there are probably two ways at the moment. You can become an NBI member, which means that then you have access to information, knowledge, tools, guidelines that we develop across the board, be it in the environmental sustainability area of work or in the social sustainability area of work. But particularly in the construction sector, at the moment we are encouraging or inviting companies, both large and small, to register with us, because we are just about to launch a big project where companies will be encouraged to offer workplace-based learning for college graduates in particular. And what we recognize is that big companies are moving more towards project management role. So more and more the work is done at emerging
Companies. Yeah.
But the thing is, we have to satisfy ourselves that those companies have the relevant capacity to mentor young and upcoming graduates who want to grow in the construction industry. So for us, then, one, we invite people to come forward, but we would have to do a due diligence to make sure that you meet the minimum requirements. For instance, a company has to commit that they will make a mentor, a supervisor available to guide the interns, as it were.
Mm. So, I mean, but I shouldn't think you guys should be a problem because you've partnered with Harambe.
Yes.
To help with the recruitment process.
Yes, and that has actually been quite a good thing for us to, you know, to have partnered with Harambe. You see, Harambe brings into the fold what NBI doesn't have. But I suppose what I'm saying is that Harambe has certain things that NBI doesn't have, and NBI has certain things that Harambe doesn't have. So it was really quite a perfect match. The fact that Harambe invests in the recruitment, selection, and matching of young people to industry has really helped us to retain, I think, all the 28 candidates that we currently have in different workplaces in Gauteng, primarily because part of the selection is to make sure that young people who raise their hands up to go into construction industry are actually suited for that work. It's not until you put them through their paces that some actually might decide, you know what, I'm not cut out to be working out in the rain or in the cold.
Yeah.
So, but those who will go through, chances are that they will stay in the construction sector.
You just stroke two things with me. Gary, in terms of Ms. Makano spoke about retention. And skills and, you know, skills development. So in terms of what you've been doing in terms of container conversions, how many skills are you working with? Are these the skills that you've trained, or are these people that you've sourced that already have the skills on how to convert containers into homes?
Initially, when we started the shipping container conversions, it was myself and two or three of the electrical guys that work with us.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started to grow a little bit more. And then we were bringing guys on board. And usually with it being a labor-intensive industry, we started to bring new people in, and we trained them from start in all the different disciplines. It would have been electrical, the plumbing, steelwork and welding.
Mm-hmm.
We've got spray painters, and then we do the insulation inside the containers. So a lot of our guys through the years have become multi-skilled.
Okay.
So as we're going through the project, we can start off preparing the container, cutting it, and each guy works in through. And with that, we can get a lot more work done in that sense, that we can all work together. And that's helped us a lot to grow our business and become a player in the market.
Yeah. So, I mean, she also made mention of others that are being afraid of working in the cold or in the... So, now tell me, using containers, you know, I mean, are they not too hot during the cold, you know? And are they not too hot during the summer? And are they not cold during the winter?
With the shipping containers, it is a steel box. So it will get cold in the winter and hot in the summer. However, to get around that, we use insulated panels. There are different types on the market, but generally the ones we use, it's a 50 mil Sagex polystyrene panel with Chromadec.
Okay.
And that gets cladded on the inside of the container.
Mm.
And
that is thick. It doesn't make your container smaller?
It does reduce the size of the container slightly. You'd end up, if you insulate a container inside a single container, it'll be 2 meters, 200 once the insulation's inside.
Mm-hmm.
So it does reduce it a little bit, but rather have that than being baked or getting cold in a shipping container. There are other methods of doing it through air conditioners those type of things, but then you're using a lot more electricity again. Mm. So if you can reduce it with insulated panels, it helps. Other than that, you can put a shade net over it, a roof over it, shade net over it, just to take the baking sun off it. That'll help for the heat.
Mm.
But insulation is very important in shipping containers.
Yeah. So then from are there any threats though around these houses using shipping containers? Is there any threats in terms of, I'll make an example with your old traditional houses. The threats could be the house could crack. It could be the house could bend down. If you're using building wood, then, you know, incense could. So around shipping containers, what threats are you most likely want to face?
I think with the shipping containers, as a general building medium, it is very strong. I think if your installation is done correctly, your electrical installation, and if you're using gas, everything's done by qualified people and the compliance certificates are issued for the units. You won't run the big risk of it burning down as such. However, it's you and me that are living in the containers. Then to make sure we use safe practices when we are cooking or bathing or doing anything in the containers.
Mm. Okay. Bulena?
No, man. I think... One of the biggest questions I had was around financing, and I mean, you touched on that, but are you finding that most of the people that are purchasing these homes are making cash sales, or are they getting loans, or?
Generally, we're finding it that it is a cash a purchase.
Yeah.
However, with that's why I brushed on it. With the banks to try and educate the banks that these units can be used and are sustainable to for a basic unit or a bigger unit for that matter. But I think to try and get them out there and see what the product is.
Mm. Yeah.
And then from there to make a decision if they're willing to then finance these projects. And it's a way to get people started in the housing industry.
Yeah. So then the height, is it not a problem?
With the shipping containers, you get two types of shipping containers in terms of height. The general purpose, they call the GP. The internal height's 2 meters, 250. And then you get a high cube container. They are 2 meters, 550. These dimensions are given once we put the insulation in. Mm. But if you need a bigger unit, so the side walls can be taken out. So you can join them side by side or end by end.
Okay.
You can stack them with staircases. So there are a lot of different methods of doing it. You can stand them straight up on the ends as to use as stairwells. You can even use them as swimming pools, you know. So anything can be done.
I saw the swimming pool one. I want to put one in Tembisa there for Bulele. Yeah. So, but now tell me, Gary, who taught you this? Is there something that you just decided to have interest in and researched? Or what's because I know that I'm big on research, locally and internationally. In that way that even, I mean, some of the biggest listeners that we have on the show, they're American people. Mm. So there's no institution that teaches this.
With that, initially when we started out doing electrical installation work on the containers. And then from there, it progressed to getting involved in the conversion of containers. Mm. And it was offices and clinics, spaza shops, refrigerated units. So it was a slow progression getting into it, and then presented with different challenges. People request certain conversions on the containers, and then it's for us to do our research and development and find out how we can actually make the containers to our clients' needs.
Mm-mm-mm. No, definitely. So now coming back to you, Memakano, we just started in the new year.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you have all these exciting initiatives that are coming up. You know, obviously, is it across different industries?
Well, the big one is in construction.
Okay.
And we have an exciting one coming up in the solar water heating area.
Mm.
And we're particularly excited with that, and we're doing this with Nedbank, if I should mention that, particularly because it has a component that would also be of interest to you, which is the enterprise development.
Mm.
So essentially, if you look at the construction work that we're doing, young people who will complete their workplaces will primarily go into employment even though we are aware that some of them could choose to start their own businesses, even though I have to say that we don't provide sufficient grounding for them to do that on their own, but we would refer them to entities
that's
that
where,
would...
That's where we come in.
Yes.
Bulalan, that's where we come
that's
in.
You. That's you.
Yeah, but I think the one on solar water heating, even just... within its design, right from the beginning when we work with Harambe to select candidates who go into this, there are those who will have affinity for self-employment. So already even their work placement will not be in big companies, but will be in the SMMEs so that they get the first-hand feel for what it's like to run a small company. So we're really excited about that because we feel we are breaking new ground. It's not going to be easy because we have to start even right from, you know, who would be our partners into this. So maybe Gary, some will go to Gary to, you know, for their workplace-based learning. Yeah. And I can see someone raising his hand.
Because for me, I'm thinking to myself that, I'll make an example in my company.
Yeah.
I'm already running a graduate placement program that municipality pays their stipend on my behalf. So, and I give them their relevant skills. And I mean, I must say, some of these guys, I've actually employed them on a full-time base. So maybe obviously it's just a question of checking as to with you, what's the difference between the graduate placement programs that are out there and what you guys are doing?
I think it's complementary, but as I said, with NBI, we're always for innovation. We try to bring in new things in the way we do things. So that, you know, so you'll find that even within the construction work that we did, we provided a bridging platform, which many graduate projects actually don't provide. So we always look for business solutions for innovation. And I think that's really what sets us apart in most cases. But obviously, that becomes a little bit easier when you have private funding. But when you have public funding, it's very difficult to maneuver and try out things and adjust things as you go along. Because
But it's not your problem. You've got private funding.
No, we don't. We struggle hard to get it. And in fact, if okay.
We don't, but we struggle hard to get it.
Yeah, we struggle. And it's a struggle to get it. I mean, but the thing is, it works well for us because when you have a lab where you can adjust and adapt as you go along, vis-a-vis where I think generally public funding tend to be strictly prescribed within strict protocols, and it's very difficult to try out things there.
Yeah.
But it is a struggle to get funding. So, yeah, if you can tell me where to get it, I'll follow you.
Okay. No, definitely. So I know we've got somebody that is listening that wants to see more of what you do.
Yes.
And some of the programs that you've got coming up. Where can they get more information?
They can get information on www.nbi.org.za.
Okay. Can you repeat that for me?
www.nbi.org.za.
No, definitely. Mr. Khaldanis, people that want to be in touch, where can they get hold of you?
Most of our stuff is done on Facebook, so if they look at...
Oh, yes, I saw on Facebook, you've got quite good pictures there.
With that, it'd be Halcon Services on Facebook, yes.
Is it? Oh, okay. No, definitely. Sissy, do you want to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what it is that you do.
Hi, everyone. My name is Amanda Duma. I am a strategic pricing analyst. I'm here today interning just to see how Teboho does his show, and I'm really appreciative of the opportunity.
As you're a pricing specialist.
Yes.
So you've been part of a discussion. You've had you know, these containers and these homes versus the old traditional homes. So I mean, Gary said, in fact, Brad said, it's plus minus 35% cheaper than old traditional building. From a pricing element, would you say that is accurate? from what you've been hearing?
Look, obviously, in terms of pricing, there's a lot of elements that you consider before you come to your base price. So it'll be interesting to hear Gary's cost and how he gets hold of his containers and so forth for me to be able to say he is accurate. Mm. So, I mean, but for me as a citizen, anything that'll be 35% cheaper, I would definitely consider. So just to then talk to it, since I've got the space and the opportunity, I think for Mr. Khalt, what I will say is, I think it's an opportunity for your company to probably approach the housing department. I think for South African community, seeing is believing. So for me, listening to the conversation.
That's why I'm going to be launching this project that he's going to be doing for me, so that people see and believe.
Yeah, because for me, I think a pilot project of sort of like a location of about 100 houses where people could see the space with everything in it and people living in it and looking at it and then building from that to then approach the government to say, look, we've done it in this area. It has worked. And then take it from there. That's something that I would consider being in your position.
Okay, then to Memakana with the program.
To Memakana, I think skills development is an issue in South Africa, and obviously an opportunity always exists to upscale people's education and skilling levels. So I think you're doing a great thing. If I was in a position to give you funding, I would definitely will. So I think continue doing the good work as in NBI. In upskilling our young graduates, and obviously with Debuho doing the placements, hopefully you guys can link up and everything can work out.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you a lot for coming to the show. We usually close off the show in style. A word of 30 seconds inspiration to somebody that is listening.
I think for anyone listening out there, if you've got a dream, try and pursue it. And there are a lot of resources available in modern times with the internet and Google. So a lot of projects, your research can be done thoroughly before you actually go and try it out.
Okay.
Madam? I think from my side, I think the opportunities are out there. They are open. There are many for companies to come forward to provide workplace-based learning opportunities for young people.
Mm-hmm.
So the more, the better.
Okay. Ma'am?
I think for me, when you give it an opportunity, take it. So listening to everybody that is here today, anybody that comes across an opportunity, definitely take it. And I think also when you have space to be able to teach, always do that, because that's what South Africa needs.
No, definitely. Bulelani?
Get things done.
Get things done. What am I saying? You live once. An opportunity once comes once, and you need to grab it and run with it and making the best out of it. The minute I heard about this opportunity, I decided and I made a choice that I'm going to run with it. That's why you're going to be seeing soon, I'm hoping in a month or two, a project that we're going to be launching off this initiative, so that you know what, you can only have an opportunity to become once and become the best you that you can be. I always say today's innovation, it's tomorrow's imitation. Catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz. If ever you've joined in late on the show, you can always go to the www.cliffcentral.com and go to podcast to actually download the podcast of the show, or you can even do it downloading the Cliff Central app. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Debuho Mafodi, Bulelani Balabala. Catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz right here on cliffcentral.com. We are out.
Cliffcentral.com.